May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. If you'll turn to the gospel for today, Luke chapter 10. Luke 10 is such an awesome chapter. It's got so much stuff, whole Luke 10:1 stuff. And here we have Martha and Mary. In Luke 10, in verse 40, it says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried about and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This week, in the past, this week of July, in the past, and I believe this week in the present, really is significant in an awful lot of ways. Obviously, in 1969, this week in July, in 1969, Apollo 11 went to the moon. Two men walked on another celestial body for the very first time. And that's pretty awesome when you think about that. How many of you were alive and watched that on television? Or heard it on the radio? Okay, yeah. Good part of our congregation were able to see that.
The other part was the wives or what?
Yeah. I know. I understand that. That's fine. But that was pretty awesome. Yes?
Did you know they did communion?
Well, I'll get to that. Shut up and let me do the preaching. Just be quiet. All right. And this week in July, in 1981, I was at the Episcopal Retreat Center in Flower Mound, Texas, taking comprehensive examinations in preparation for ordination.
Yes. Fun, fun time.
It was a great time. They take you away to a retreat center and cut you off from all the outside world for 3 full days. And they have 6 priests and 2 lay people, and you have to go into this room, and then 2 of the people are there to interview you in the 7 canonical areas. And then you also have to preach a sermon to the gathered group during there. Well, the sermon that I was called on to preach was Mary and Martha. So that was kind of interesting. And then on this week in July, in 1987, Miranda, Christopher, and I were in her Chevy Nova driving from Houston, Texas to Asheville, North Carolina. And we moved here and have been here since. Which also means that this week, in July, in 1987, a certain Carrie Catherine Kerr, now Fisher, was born. Awesome. So, all right. Pretty cool. Well, back in the fall of last year, the Lord told us that during 2019, he said, behold, I am doing a new thing. And then at David's ordination, which was the first of those new things in 2019, he told us that there would be 12 installments, that was the first installment. But one thing that I think is very important for us to recognize is that the Lord is doing new things. That's what the Lord is about, is doing new things. But all new things that the Lord does is built on the foundation of things that were past. Okay? And, well, we can see that. Actually, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 10, 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Whatever the Lord is doing, the new things that he is doing, is built upon the foundations that have been laid for us. And as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, the church is built on the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. You can't build on anything other than on what Christ has established. Himself being the cornerstone, and through his church, through the apostles, through the prophets, anything that you're trying to build new and unique is probably at best heretical, at worst demonic. Okay, let's not go there. Let's just agree. We're not going to go there. We're going to do the things that God has called us to do within the context of the Holy Church. All right, so all of that said, so what is all this saying to us here in this week of July in 2019? God is doing a new thing. But if it is going to stand, it will be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so let's look at the Martha and Mary story and see what that has to say to us about this. All right. The nearly infallible version is a little bit fallible on this particular passage. So we're going to use Bill's literal translation, the BLT. Okay?
That always makes
not on a BLT.
And Martha was distracted with much service, and having come up to Jesus, she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Then say to her that she should take her part." Now, this is where the NIV separates from the Greek here. They change that a little bit. But Martha is saying to Jesus that Martha needs to take her part. And what she means is take her part in helping prepare the dinner, all right? And then the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and disturbed about many things, but a few things is there need." Oh, that's a powerful statement when you think about that. But a few things is there need. Ooh. Only one. Only one thing is needful. For Mary has chosen the good part, such that it will not be taken away from her. All right, so what is important here? You see, Martha said she should take her part. And Jesus said Mary has chosen a part. She's chosen the good part. She's doing what she is supposed to do. She is doing the one needful thing. The one thing that really is going to bear good fruit. Okay? And God wants us to take our part in the whole fabric of spiritual service. But if we're doing that in our own power, then it will be taken away from us. If we're doing it in the power of Christ, then we can leave it in his hands, and we can watch what God is going to do, and what God will do will be phenomenal. I promise you. We cannot serve in our own power. Now, let me give you kind of an example here. If you have a party, you've invited the king of all creation to come to your party, all right? You're going to want everything to be exactly right, which is exactly what Martha did. She invited the king of all creation to come to her home. And so she wanted everything to be exactly right. And so she did all this preparation, and she was working so hard. Let's say it went on that way all the way through. And then when he got up and he left, then she still had the dishes to do, and she had to clean up the house after the party was over. And then she sat down and she went, oh, crap. The king of all creation was here, and I didn't spend 5 minutes with him. What's that?
The house is clean.
But the house is clean? Exactly. But here's the key. The king of all creation didn't come to the party for the food or the entertainment. The king of all creation came to the party to spend time with you. But when we have sat at his feet, like Mary, we receive encouragement. We receive guidance. We receive direction. And even if the party is, in earthly terms, a complete flop, the food is uncooked or overcooked and the house isn't quite clean or whatever, you know, if we've sat at the feet of the Lord, everything that is important has taken place. It's the one thing that is needful, and that can never be taken away from us. All right, so God is doing a new thing. He is moving us forward into uncharted territory, as it were. So why did I begin this sermon by telling you about those three things back in 1969, 81, and 87? Well, let me share a little bit about that, even though it's been preempted by a certain member of the band. But no names have been spoken about that. Anyway, now seriously, in 1969, when Apollo 11 landed on the moon, it was the very first time a human being had ever set foot on another celestial body. But the very first thing that was done after they got there was Buzz Aldrin took communion. He had brought with him consecrated bread, a small chalice, and a small vial of consecrated wine. The very first meal that was taken on the moon was the body and blood of Jesus. Before the flight left, Neil Armstrong's mother pulled him aside and said, "Don't you dare set foot on that moon until you've said a prayer." And if you were watching that night, that's why I asked, if you were watching that night, did you notice after he jumped, by the way, that ladder, the bottom rung is 27 and a half inches above the pad, okay? So that last step is a big one. Yeah.
I love the comment later guy makes, he's like, that may have been a small step for Neil, but it wasn't for me.
That's right. So he jumps down and he lands on the landing pad there. Okay, so he's not on the moon yet, he's still on the limb, all right? And you notice that there was a long pause there before he reaches over and sets foot. He was saying a prayer of thanksgiving to Christ. The first two things that were done when man left earth were to be taking Christ into the universe. Foundation is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When I was taking my comprehensive exams, and that is a harrowing experience, I had all sorts of advice about that sermon that I was to preach. But the one advice that I heard that made the most sense to me was by my spiritual director, Father George Gillespie. And he told me, just trust the Holy Spirit to speak. Leave your notes behind. Don't take your notes into that sermon. Whoa. Okay. All these other people were telling me, "Oh, yeah, you're gonna want it because you're gonna be so nervous, you're gonna forget where you are, and okay." I had crib notes in my hand the archdeacon said, he brought out the lectern just like it is here, and I said, if you don't mind, I'd rather just stand. And George also said, and look those men in the eye while you're preaching. And so I had my crib notes, and I was preaching without a lectern, without a podium, without anything. And I was talking, and it was a, you guys would really like it because it was a really short sermon. But anyway. And when I was done, then of course they have to critique. And so I sat there and I was waiting for the critique. And one of the men looked at me, forgotten which one it was. He said, this is the best sermon we've heard this week. And then Father Forrest, and I love Joel Reed, another friend of mine from seminary. He said, you can always remember Father Forrest's name because he has this beard that comes down to here. It's Father Forrest. Anyway, so Father Forrest looked at me and said, don't let that go to your head. But he did say, it was excellent. A lot is going to be expected of you. Ooh, okay. Foundation. When we moved here from Houston, by the way, as of tomorrow, I was 32 years old when we moved here. I'm 64 years old. I sat down and figured out, okay, when exactly have I lived half my life in Asheville? Tomorrow. Tomorrow I will have lived half of my life in Asheville. But when we moved here from Houston, as we were coming up Highway 25 out of South Carolina, we got, you know, at the top of the hill, there's the big sign, Welcome to North Carolina. As we got to that sign, I turned to Miranda and I said, welcome home, sweetheart. We're going to die here.
Next mile
or so. Not today. Hopefully not today.
The Lord told me as we were driving into North Carolina that this is where we're going to be until I die. This is the place we're going to be. And I had, believe me, I was, like I said, 32 years old. I was a priest in the Episcopal Church. I had every reason to believe I would retire in the Episcopal. I did retire from the Episcopal Church, come to think of it. Anyway, I did. I get my pension from them. Anyway, I had no idea what God was going to do. But I just believed that what God had said was true, that He brought us here for a reason. He had a purpose. I had spent my entire adult life in Texas. I had every reason to believe I would spend the rest of my life in Texas, but the Lord had another idea. You can blame Maria for that.
Yeah. Blame her for a lot of
you can blame her.
She
that,
was. She was very pregnant with Monica, and so she went into the bathroom while I was being interviewed, and she prayed that the Lord would tell me to come and to Asheville, and so it's her fault.
She gets the credit.
Is that what it is? Oh, okay. All right. But I had no idea. The CEC didn't exist. I had no idea where all this was going to lead. But there was the foundation. There was the foundation. And God is doing a new thing. He's building on the foundation that He has laid in the past. And God is doing a new thing right now. He's doing a new thing in our midst. We have to open our eyes to see what He is doing. We have to join in what He is doing. Not make up something for ourselves. Not do it in our own power. Not be Marthas, but be Marys to sit at His feet and listen to Him and join Him in what it is that He is doing. If we spend time at His feet, if we listen to Him, if we take His direction, what we do can never be taken away from us. If we serve in His power, if our service is in His name, then that can never be taken away from us either. It all begins with our quality, quiet time with God, sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to Him. Amen.